WEBEX.com.
Welcome to this version of America Tonight. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. What's the big buzz in Nevada with high unemployment numbers coming up on Tuesday? Another Republican debate. Only one familiar face will be missing from the conversation this time around, the former Utah Governor John Huntsman, but everybody else will be there, and they'll be grabbing for attention or vying for attention from the voters in Nevada, because this is going to be a swing state now with a Republican governor and the terrible numbers with unemployment and foreclosure. What was an Obama state probably won't be a Democratic stronghold in 2012, so that debate becomes that much more important. The tug of war over what was going to happen with the caucuses, Iowa, Florida, New Hampshire, because New Hampshire was having none of we'll take next. They wanted to be there when they wanted to be there, because it's the Granite State. If you're confused and have no idea what I'm talking about, well, that's more reasons to stick around, because I will flush it out for you. It's very important on the other side of the aisle, because now, with 13 months to go before another election, it'll really start to count. It'll really start to count as states and votes and hanging your hat on promises and all that kind of stuff will happen in these upcoming stops. And that means Florida, for one. That means New Hampshire. That means Iowa. So suddenly now the holidays become more about the election the next time around for the Republicans, because Iowa moved its presidential caucuses to January 3rd, meaning that everything else could fall in line after that. And as I said, New Hampshire had threatened to have theirs in December. Can you imagine? And all this was because of Florida deciding to move its primary to January 31st, which set off that crazy chain reaction. But we'll keep that aside for now and dive into that a little bit further, and why New Hampshire's important on January 14th, and why Iowa's important and all that sort of stuff. But before we get there, actually something that is of interest to us is these Palestinian prisoners and the exchange for the Israeli soldier, Gilad Shalit, who had been imprisoned for 5 years. What a sight it must be to see this. A lot of convoys, 1,000 police officers along the route because they're worried about what could happen. 96 Palestinians were released in a convoy that was guarded like they had diamonds in those trucks, in those jeeps. And the first that were freed, supposedly, were the women, were the females. In total, as more of them are released, more of the Palestinians, 477 were serving life sentences for terror attacks in which some Israelis died. In total, over 1,000 will be released. In fact, to be exact, 1,027 in total. Wow. And this kid, this Israeli soldier, is 25 years old. They knew not very much about him since he was captured in 2006. And so here we go. This is amazing. This swap is amazing. But the Israeli people are behind it mostly. You know, by 5-1, they're behind making that deal. But it was a deal that certainly was controversial when it was first announced this was what was going to happen, that they had come up with a way to get him back. Let's talk about the Middle East for a second and Iran. The question of Iran is certainly far from over of what to do. Sanctions, talk to the Chinese and the Russians and see if they'll come on board. There have been 19 sanctions leveled, economic sanctions and whatnot, at Iran for some of the things that they have done over the last three decades, and none of them seem to work. We have no kind of a formal relationship, obviously, with Iran, and we know what a terroristic, let's face it, country it is. So I had a conversation today with Mark Dubowitz. He's the executive director of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, and he's the head of its Iran Human Rights Project. He's quoted all the time all over the place, from Fox to, I don't know, New York Times to the Washington Post, you know, pick a place, because he's so schooled in what's going on in Iran. And we talked about, one of the things we talked about is, how do you get Russia and China to come on board? Because then you really have something if you can throw the Chinese and the Russians into the mix against Iran. Listen to what he said.
A very difficult issue. The Chinese, I think, have slowed down their investment in the Iranian energy sector. We've gotten some compliance from Beijing, but the major issue there is the number of Chinese companies that are providing parts and components to the Iranian nuclear program. There are about 20 Chinese companies that are doing brisk business with the Iranians, and they're helping them build a bomb. I think we got to let the Chinese know that if they want continued access to the U.S. as the largest consumer market in the world, they have to stop helping the Iranians build a nuclear weapon. And similarly with the Russians, we've seen Russian energy companies started to move out of the Iranian energy sector, but they too have helped the Iranians build Bashar, which is a large nuclear facility, and they continue to supply weaponry. So we have to have a come to Jesus meeting with both Moscow and Beijing on this.
All right, so see, hard line there. Then the other thing I asked him is, you know, of all the atrocities that have been committed, what's the one thing a lot of people don't realize that Iran has been doing behind everyone's back?
I think what's been most heinous has been what's been most overlooked, and that is the extent of cooperation between Iran and al-Qaeda. It's not well known, but in fact, the deputy commander of Hezbollah, which is a Iranian surrogate, Imad Mughniyeh, worked with al-Qaeda in the 1990s and trained al-Qaeda operatives. And certainly there's evidence from the 9/11 report after 9/11 that was commissioned by the U.S. government that they were, in fact, the Iranians were giving free transit and help and assistance to the 9/11 hijackers. So the links between al-Qaeda and Iran are not well understood, haven't been well developed, and I think that is particularly egregious when you think of what al-Qaeda has represented in terms of the number of Americans killed and the security threat they've represented to the United States.
All right, coming up, we're going to finish that. We're going to let you hear what he had to say about a leaked report that he says is surprising because it came from the UN, which is supposed to really be fighting for human rights, as we know. Remember the whole thing, of course, with Muammar Gaddafi and what's happened with Libya. Well, now this time, what about what's going on in Iran? And Dubowitz has plenty to say about what was in the report. That's next here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Once again, for my friends at Midas Resources, these are hard times for investors. You don't know which way to go. Is the market going to recover? Is the Washington spending machine going to continue? And that means a lot of debt and maybe printing money to cover the debt. They call it monetizing the debt, but that's a fancy way of saying inflation. And a lot of people are worried about that. So you need the ultimate inflation hedge, and that's gold. Now, let me be clear about this. Commodities fluctuate in price. They can go up and down. Very volatile. There's no guarantee. But if you want the ultimate inflation hedge, you need to talk to my friends at Midas Resources. The number, 1-800-686-2237. If you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to have it in your possession, call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237. It's Midas Resources, 1-800-686-2237 for gold, and tell them Jason sent you.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
All right, so Iran, what is the play ultimately in Iran? As an American, what do you think should happen? It's your taxpayer dollars and the lives of maybe some people in your family if we were to actually go in on the ground. The possibility of that at this point, I say, is nil. I think we get another economic sanction, and we're trying to convince the Chinese and the Russians to play here because, as you just heard Mark Dubowitz talk about, the fact that the Chinese are helping Iran with their technology to develop a nuclear weapon. So it's very doubtful that those two countries would be involved in any kind of sanction against that country. So then you push that aside. What are the other options on the table? One of the things that we also chatted about, which, you know, after talking about Al-Qaeda and the fact that Iran was helping some of the members of Al-Qaeda that flew planes into the World Trade Center and certainly were involved in what happened on 9/11 10 years ago, we talk about the people themselves. What's going on with the Iranian people? What kind of atrocities are being committed? And there was a leaked report from the UN that he had eyeballed, and this is what he talked about.
Well, they're extensive, they're egregious. They, in fact, the United Nations Human Rights Council, which spends most of its time actually bashing Israel and doing very little investigation on true human rights abusers, surprisingly put out a report just today that was leaked to the media, and it is a extensive catalog of Iranian human rights abuses, and it makes for sobering reading. It is horrendous what this regime has done to its own people, the murders, the rapes, the tortures, just the brutal repression. And, you know, if this is a regime that will treat its own people this way, how can we expect this regime, how can we trust this regime to act rationally and humanely if it actually had the ability to wipe out an American city. I mean, this is a regime that has abused its own people for 30 years. This is not a regime that cares about human rights or human dignity.
All right, and what a way to end that, you know, that he's right. Do they really care if you listen to some of the things that he was just saying there? So food for thought. We move on. The question is, you have a stake in this. As much as we have all this stuff happening in the United States, we can't be like ostriches and bury our head in the sand because our government ultimately holds the purse strings on to go to war, not go to war. Geez, are we going to drop a bomb? Are we going to send some missiles to Iran? Doubtful. Doubt that any of that's going to happen. It's going to be more posturing. So it'll be the same old, even though supposedly all options are on the table. All right, speaking of being on and off the table, there's some good stuff here that's happening with the Supreme Court, including this dispute over the Stolen Valor Act. Now, wait till you hear. Let me get deeper on this. Imagine, if you will, there's a guy, and, you know, this happened back in 2006. There's a guy who said, he was telling everybody, Xavier Alvarez, was telling everybody that he had gotten the Congressional Medal of Honor. So, bragging rights, running around doing all of that, and of course, it was a lie. Well, think about what the Congressional Medal of Honor is. That means you're saying you're a war hero, and you're getting a rare military medal. So it was called the Stolen Valor Act. It was passed in 2006. And now the Supreme Court has agreed, because it is a lie to do that, it is a crime, to lie about being a war hero, to just say that, put that on your resume, whatever, portray yourself as that. Now, the Supreme Court is looking at this case. They agreed to take this case, and they'll decide whether or not these lower court judges who found the law a breach of the First Amendment because they expressed their concern over the government targeting speech solely because it was a lie. So this Alvarez guy, he was a member of the municipal water board in Southern California, and he said he had been wounded as a Marine. He was telling a tall tale. He's wounded as a Marine and received in 1987 the Medal of Honor, which is the highest military award. He had never served in the military at all. So they have, you have this new law, and it prohibits anybody, me, you, whoever, from falsely representing themselves to have gotten any kind of a medal authorized by Congress for the armed forces of the U.S. What he got was a trial judge sentenced him to 3 years probation and a $5,000 fine. The U.S. Court of Appeals reversed the trial judge's ruling. It said the law aimed at speech and imposing a criminal penalty has to be, and I got to do this verbatim, has to be subject to the strictest constitutional scrutiny, that they should have, that Congress should have more narrowly tailored the reach of the law by, let's say, for example, banning actual impersonations of war heroes, like trying to rip off someone's identity, really is what that is. So how interesting. He falsely claims that, and it wasn't true. It was just a tall tale. I mean, that's what it was. He just made it up. I'm thinking, boy, all the people I know that tell these tall tales, they haven't done that. They haven't said they won a Medal of Honor and they were in the military, but we know people certainly exaggerate the truth. And so this guy has to, you know, he gets the hammer laid down and then it gets reversed. And boy, I don't know. There's a couple of other things that that's being discussed, but this United States versus Alvarez, I think that comes into play next year is going to be a fun one to watch, because then that brings up the whole crying wolf, lying, all that sort of stuff. And it's an interesting fair or foul. I don't know. I mean, how many people can claim they've never told a white lie? However, there's something about, there's something karmically wrong with saying, I was in the war. I was a military person. I fought for this country. I won the Congressional Medal of Honor, and just really pumping that out there. But I think on a daily basis, okay, in Congress, do you think that we've got no liars whatsoever? That nobody's deceiving anybody? You think so? I'm going to say no. And it's what it's, you know what, it's what you believe with freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. Is it absolute? Is it not absolute? That, like I said, this is a fascinating case to watch. I think this Kat Alvarez, pushing that off onto people and saying that, you know, he's trying to make himself bigger was stupid. But in what context? You know, who was he sharing that with? Besides the guys around him who's busting their chops and saying that, you know, that was his deal. Now, is he, with this Valor deal, was he out portraying himself that way to get favors? I don't think so. All right, speaking of favors, a new poll, oh, we never talk about polls here on America Tonight. A new poll shows that more people are actually blaming Washington than Wall Street. Despite this whole Occupy movement, more Americans say, listen, all of our problems are the fault of the federal government. Bravo. People are starting to get it. What's happening? So this is a democracy that's supposed to be based on capitalism, but you've got 4 in 10 people saying that the economic system is unfair to them. So in this new USA Today Gallup poll that was taken really to talk about the Occupy movement, most people are not actually blaming Wall Street. They're blaming the politicians. When they were asked who they blame more for the poor economy, 64% of Americans named the federal government. 30% say big financial institutions. Do you agree with that? All right, hang with us. Much more to come here on this hour of America Tonight.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the 4 major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here. From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
I brought no one with me. No one will be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas.
Drinking too much coffee. I'm in the shade. It's somewhere.
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall.
This guy
Why don't woman to live yet?
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Questions here on America Tonight that we can't answer in 1 hour, one show, or 1 week, but things that you need to kind of sit on, to think about for a second. And really, honestly, whether it's the Middle East, where are we taking this? How far are we going with XYZ country? And then we get to Iran and poof, after all these decades, oh well, you know, we're not going to get China to do anything there. We're not going to get Russia to do anything. And our sanctions obviously don't have enough teeth to affect what's happening in that country. They're certainly not coming to the table. There is no relationship. We know that. Jay in Kentucky, hello.
What's going on, Kate?
Hey, no winner this week, this time around, as you know, in Nail the Score. I wanted to tell the people that didn't get to join us in the previous show that we did not have a winner. Nobody picked it.
No, I hear you. I had the Buffalo score. If that would have been the game of the week, I had that score, 27-24.
Very nice. That's good. Hey, that's good. That's bragging rights.
Hey, I checked with my wife, and she said you could be my midnight mistress on the radio. So
thank her for me. That's nice.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, a little serious business here. I still can't get over the fact that Obama's riding around in this multi-million dollar convoy made in Canada trying to promote U.S. jobs, for one. For number two, everybody's mad at the banks and these corporations right now. They're talking about all the bailout money they got. Well, if I'm not mistaken, during this bailout, we had a Congress and the Senate that was Democrat-controlled, along with a Democrat president. So they authorized all these bailouts, and then now they want to turn around and say, well, all these evil corporations wanted these bailouts. Well, a lot of them didn't want it. There was a lot of banks that said, we don't want the money, and they forced the money on them.
But right.
All this money has been paid back with interest. So where did all that money go? Once it's all taxpayer-funded bailouts and all these banks have paid this money back with interest, well, then we should have that stockpile of cash somewhere. But it doesn't show up on records anywhere. And we are spending roughly $300 million a day in Afghanistan rebuilding that country.
Yes.
Why? Why are we doing that when we have Americans here that need bailed out, a lot of non-working people around the U.S., a lot of people mad, hungry, scared, don't know what to do. Meanwhile, we're rebuilding another nation. This is the nation we need to focus on building.
Yeah, we don't bail out our own people. We just bail out everybody else.
Exactly.
We don't do it. It is ridiculous. It is, if you think about it. We criticize our own people and say, well, it must be your fault because you were watching, you know, another divorce show on TV and eating fried chicken and hanging out on the couch. And so you should have been working. You should have been doing this. And sure, you could point to, you know, some people take advantage of the system, but not the way it is now, Jay. There are people that are hardworking people that just cannot find work. And what are they supposed to do? How many resumes, how many places can they go when they don't get hired?
Well, another thing, when Obama presses his jobs bill, he's pressing unions. He's pressing teachers, police, construction workers. He's basically, all he wants to do is back the unions. He's
right.
Not looking to create jobs. And
no.
as far as teachers go, the government has no, the federal government has no business in funding teachers. That's up to individual states through property taxes and so forth. So, I don't understand how the federal government is stepping in at a state level, trying to back these unions. All he's doing is campaigning and trying to get more votes because he knows where the party is. He can't run on his own record, obviously. He said he wouldn't run if he couldn't turn the economy around. So he wouldn't run for re-election, but all that stimulus, that $1 trillion,
yeah,
to keep unemployment from going over 8%, now it's over 9%. It's a no-win situation when the government steps in anywhere. It just needs to back off, let the private sector go, cut the regulations. That's the bottom line. And I think Herman Cain does have the idea on the 999. What people don't understand is the corporations doesn't pay the tax, the people do. And the 35% tax that these corporations are paying, that's embedded into the cost of everything. So that $3 gallon of milk, you got feed that has to be 35% corporate tax onto the farms and then into the distribution centers and into the warehouses, into the stores, and everywhere along the way, you're getting that 35% built-in corporate tax. Well, once corporate tax is lowered to 9%, some costs come down across the board, and now that $3 gallon of milk is $2. So you're paying 9% on your income tax and 9% on your purchase. Now you're getting that milk for $2.20 versus $3. So
right.
It is definitely cheaper that way. But
yeah, what a difference that would make.
About.
Yeah. No, I understand. I'm right there with you, venting every single night. Thanks, Jay. Drive safely. All right, so he said that before. He knows, as he's got his own business, and he sees how much it costs him to run his rig, and then ultimately that cost is passed on. And we've talked about that before, the chain. And he's right. You go to the grocery store. How much are you spending? And sometimes it's shocking. Sometimes people shop in little increments because then it doesn't seem as painful, even though it's the same. Ultimately, you arrive at the same dollar figure at the end versus going, you know, people go a couple of days versus go one day and have them say, that'll be $150. And for these people that have a lot of kids, I don't know how they do it if they're making a medium to low income. That's got to be tough. How do you stretch that? It's one thing to be single or to just have two of you in a family versus to have a lot of children that you have to worry about and be concerned about meals and everything else that kids need. That's got to be frustrating for the people who are raising young kids, I would think, especially. You know, I was thinking, where is the common sense? And one of our best common sense guys in the President's Club was Calvin Coolidge, who talked about all kinds of things when it came to why can't we cut the nonsense. One of the things he said about experts, because we keep hearing about the experts who are advising the president on how we could get people back to work with his Jobs Act, and that's the way to go because then it'll turn the economy around. Calvin Coolidge said this about experts. He said, whoever deals with current public questions is compelled to rely greatly upon the information and judgments of experts and specialists. Unfortunately, not all experts are to be trusted as entirely disinterested. So we still go back to the same thing, I think, in special interests, of course. And that's what he was trying to say way back when. There is an interest there. There is, you know, where is the common sense? The government does not produce revenue for every dollar it spends. It has to come from where? So how do you stop the depression or recession or the anguish of the American people? How do you do that? Well, not the way we're doing it now, and not to continue to operate in the red. We can't do it. And I know this will get poo-pooed by some people that'll say, well, you know what, we've been doing that for a long time. That's why the Chinese have our debt. That's why it's over $14 trillion. So what if we have to do it a little bit more? We'll get it back. It doesn't work that way. It's like the credit card thing. It's like you have good credit, you get a credit card, and then all these other offers come in. Ugh, and you got pinched at work. Something happened. You had to take a reduced salary, or you didn't get the raise, or you have no cost of living increase, whatever it is. And this keeps happening every year, and you keep putting things on cards and you keep getting card offers, and then suddenly you cannot dig your way out of it. And that's the problem when we talk about the deficit. What happens, and it's already happened to us, you can't dig your way out of it. So the reliance on the Chinese because of that is not the place really the United States wants to be. Come on, to try to dance around whatever China's doing and try to get them to come on board, and, of course, the exchanges back and forth benefiting both now at this point. But how much has it hurt us to not be able to pull the plug on the Chinese if we have to? Can we not pull the plug? Why can't we do that? Ugh. More than frustrating. We need some common sense. This is what... what it has to be about. Common sense, please. Somebody. All right, stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, another version of We Can Count.
If the government is busy secretly stockpiling emergency food supplies, shouldn't you be too? In any emergency food situation, when the local grocery stores and your kitchen cabinets are empty, the first 72 hours are critical to you and your family. With the 72-hour emergency meal kit from Solutions from Science, you will be prepared for the troubled times ahead. These flavorful and filling 12 prepackaged meals come in a variety of dishes, have a 25-year shelf life, and simply require water to make them ready to eat. Are the the cans of soup and extra jar of peanut butter going to see you through? The 72-hour emergency meal kit is now on sale for $39.97, a small investment for tremendous peace of mind. You can find out more about the 72-hour emergency meal kit and the sale by visiting 72survival.com. That's 72survival.com or call 800-208-9491. That's 800-208-9491. Why face the next emergency on an empty stomach?
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA approved food grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Topping, we can count an explanation of all the convoluted stuff I was talking about at the top of the hour, the fact that the Iowa Republicans are holding their state's presidential nominating caucuses on January 3rd because New Hampshire was threatening to move its first-in-the-nation primary into December. But now what's happened is Florida decided they moved the primary to January 31st. Okay, that's what set the whole thing off. New Hampshire said Nevada's decision to hold caucuses January 14th would crowd the primary, and he threatened to hold his in December before the holidays. So, ultimately, the Iowa Republicans board voted on Monday. That put their state at risk of falling behind New Hampshire. But now it looks like they have upheld everything. So it looks like it's going to be okay. I say it looks like it because the dominoes might not necessarily still fall into place. In 2008, Iowa went January 3rd, followed by New Hampshire on January 8th. Yeah. What's in a date? A lot. When it comes to caucuses. And when it comes to primaries. The Florida primary is huge. That's a huge state. And then you think of how some of these swing states could change. And that's the problem when the dates are moved up and messed around with. That's not anything Herman Cain necessarily is worrying about right now. because with Iowa pushing the caucuses to January 3rd, which we think is going to be firm, with that happening, the Newsmax poll showed that Kane has an 8-point lead in Iowa. How about that? How long does he hold on to these leads? You heard Jay in Kentucky, who likes Herman Cain and what he's saying from the business point of view. And he has that. I mean, he pulled himself up from his bootstraps from humble beginnings, and we know that background. So here's how their poll went down. He is supported by 26% of the voters who say they'll vote for him, compared to 18 who will instead vote for Massachusetts, former Massachusetts governor, Mitt Romney, and then you go from there at that point, right? So with the clock ticking on the primary season, that was the point of telling you those other dates and how they were in flux, now clearly Kane has to be the favorite among conservatives who want to beat Romney. They're going after Romney. He's never run a campaign before, Herman Cain, and he's in the driver's seat, but will he make a mistake? And if he does make a mistake, can he take it back? Because he's saying he's plain spoken, and this is it. So the polls in Iowa, New Hampshire, two other polls in early voting states, South Carolina, Florida, were all taken on Sunday evening. All four show that Kane is the only candidate who is challenging Romney at this point. That says a lot, because now we're going into over a month. Over a month. So does he hang on to that? Or is he capable of blowing it? I guess the answer is, of course, with the kind of world we live in, you know, where everything is instantaneous, boom, something happens and it's viral in seconds, it seems. Certainly he could fall into some kind of a trap and somehow get discombobulated. But as he's going up in the polls, he's probably going to raise more money, and he would need to do that because he doesn't have a big war chest with him at this point. Romney's the guy who has most of the money, so it's not Kane. It's absolutely Romney. And that makes a very, very big difference. Big, big, big difference. All right, let's talk about something else here as far as numbers are concerned. This is sad to see. And we talked to Pete Daugherty, and you just probably heard that maybe even on our re-rack on our previous show, because I thought it was so powerful, about the homeless situation with vets and coming back and how tough it is from Iraq and Afghanistan and whatnot, and then those that have been back from previous wars, going back to the Vietnam Wars. And despite all this pitching that military training prepares people for jobs in the private sector, veterans, check this statistic out, veterans who left service during the past 10 years have an unemployment rate of 11.7%. Whew. And, you know, our national unemployment rate is 9.1%. So the Washington Post did a story on it, and they gave several examples of people that they just couldn't find work. They couldn't find work when they came back. And now, in fact, they feel like there's prejudice against being a veteran in some cases, even though no company, of course, would ever say that. And they wouldn't discriminate purposely anyway against anybody to get in trouble with some kind of a lawsuit. So the president is saying that his jobs bill would help that problem, because it would be a $9,600 tax credit for every unemployed veteran that a company hires if they would pass the bill. That's another thing that was thrown in there. But for whatever reason it is, the last thing I think that veterans should have to worry about is they go and they serve in these horrific conditions meaning where they're in these horrendously hot desert spots, remote spots, where who knows what with the IEDs and on patrol. I'm talking about the frontliner guys. And then they're day after day, they're working 7 days a week, and they come back and they're gone for a year and they cannot find a job, and having to fight for these jobs has to be more than disconcerting and draining, I would think, because, I mean, that's no way to treat a soldier. But it goes back to problems with companies and hiring in the first place, because people feel pinched and feel like they can't expand their budgets anyway. So that's also part of the problem. Ron Paul, who is running for president and is a favorite among many people who listen to America Tonight, says he has a solution to some of the money woes anyway. He says, why don't we just cut the cabinet and the president's salary? Why don't we do that? Because I guess if you think about it, when a president comes out of office, they're sought after as a speaker, and they make big bucks from that, and many of the cabinet members do too, and they're on boards and that kind of thing. So Paul said, you know, here's an economic plan that would trim $1 trillion from the federal budget within a year. Eliminate 5 cabinet departments and slash the president's salary. This plan would create a federal budget that could be balanced. And he's saying, if I'm president, that'll happen in the third year that I'm president. Why do we have to have all these people? He was specific, too. He said he would eliminate the departments of education, commerce, energy, interior, housing, and urban development. And that some of what they do, he's not saying everything's unnecessary, but it would go under some other umbrella in the federal bureaucracy. And then he would cut spending by the EPA by 30%. He would slash 40% from the FDA's budget, and he would freeze spending at a bunch of agencies at 2006 levels. He said he would also take an axe to the Pentagon funding for wars, and foreign aid would be just zeroed out. He said that would be done. That wouldn't happen. Also, congressional pay and perks would be slashed. The president's salary reduced, can you imagine, reduced to $39,000 a year, which Paul says, hey, that's equal to the median personal income of the American worker. The president now earns $400,000. And then if you go by his plan, the federal workforce would be reduced by 10%. I like the fact that he's a renegade. I like the fact that he calls for some serious slashing. And if you're trying to get back into the black from the red, that's what you have to do if you're serious about making it happen in a few years versus another decade, which who knows what happens in between that time and the decade anyway. Any thoughts on some of the stuff that we talked about, please send them to me, americatonight.net.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.